Uganda has joined the rest of the world in celebrating the International Day of Soils. The celebration is meant to improve public education and encourage the sharing of scientific knowledge on the topic of environment, climate change, food security, agriculture, sustainable development, resilience, and economic, cultural, and political issues related to soils. However, residents of northern Uganda are complaining that unless the soils is protected, the spare grass mainly used in the construction of low-cost houses will continue to deplete tremendously. The northerners further complain that the current introduction of modern agricultural technology has caused the drastic depletion of spare grass in the northern Uganda, especially in the districts of Oyam, Kole, and Gulu. Spare grass is not only grown in northern Uganda, but also in some parts of Teso sub-region in the eastern. The spare grass is a very useful material and so important in the construction of low-cost grass thatch houses in Uganda that the citizens cannot do without. The grass is not meant for the people who can't afford expensive iron sheets. The grass is now meant for the people who can't afford expensive iron sheets. The spare grass takes 1 year long to grow in the wild before it is matured and cut off using a device called sickles for housing construction. The spare grass is first allowed to dry like the hay used for animal feeding in a farm. While growing, the spare grass has greenish color and sharp edge like that of a spear, hence the name spare grass. The spare grass now costs about $1.4 per heap in the local market. Akelo Mary, a resident of Oyam district in Uganda, is reported to be walking about 5 kilometers away from home daily looking for spare grass material in order to renovate her house but couldn't find it. She always leaves her home at around 6 a.m. in search of spare grass in order to thatch her one-roofed house so that she lives in it with our children. Despite walking a long distance, when she finds a heap of grass, she has to pay for the cost in order to acquire it. If this is done, then finally she will have to resettle with her 3 children in it for some years because it is not durable. With the current depletion of spare grass in Uganda, it means that the unfortunate people in Uganda will not be able to afford to build their houses anymore due to destruction of the soils, which is nutritious for the growth of the said grass important in building. In this way, it will have affected the citizens in one way or another and the production of spare grass in future. The green matter in the growing spare grass, when squeezed, is used as medicine in curing fresh wounds in case of accidents. When tested, it is so sour that it is loved by the animals to graze on. By using ox plow or tractor, which digs deeper into the soils, the device removes the topsoils and main root system where the grass will not grow again. The soil, which is destroyed, acts as vegetation propagation. Of late, the distribution of free bulls and ox plows to the citizens by government in order to promote modern agricultural practices is affecting the soil in another way. Certain nutrients of the soils are destroyed by the use of this new technology. The ox plow edge penetrates the soils during primary cultivation and removes the loam soil where it depletes the growing grass. The local people, however, accept the 3 materials from government, not knowing that they are participating in the destruction of environment by digging out new plants, topsoils, and grass. This kind of activity will also destroy local ecotourism of the area, in that children born during this century will not live to see spare grass grow again. In future, the material which their ancestors first used to build the huts in which they were born today. This grass is so important that it grows naturally in the soils of northern Uganda. It is harvested yearly in the months of December during the dry season, which lasts 3 months before bushfire starts. When flowered, it also produces brooms used in sweeping the compound. In the village, the dry spear grass is used in lighting fire for cooking food by our mothers. In Acholiland, Gulu, and Lang sub-regions, the tribes there are known for using spear grass for beautifying the roofs of their houses, even though they are of cheaper quality and prone to fire destruction. The house made of grass thatch roofs is traditional building and for tourist attraction. But what happens after depletion? What will the locals use for building in future in this, if the species is not saved? The question remains unanswered. The locals are now urging government to reduce prices of iron sheets so that they can afford to replace the spear grass, which is now rapidly depleting from the soils in northern Uganda. We need more education on what government is doing for us in order to promote agriculture and conserve soil, one man said. Richard Okello, a peasant in Oyam district in Uganda, says, let this grass be replaced by edible plants for environment conservation. He adds that Uganda's soil is naturally endowed by nutrients in plant growth, which should be well protected but not disturbed. A Tim Joyce, a household in Oyam district, also complained of the dangers brought about by mining of minerals from Ugandan soils. The uncontrolled waste disposal, the destruction of other plants already interfering with the soils, leaving behind uncovered huge holes, a team adds. The Ugandans also castigated the shareholding of the minerals discovered on Ugandan soils, which caused displacement, overcrowding, wrangles, and even murder. Okello Simon, a farmer, said the land in Uganda is not used properly, but fragmented for individual use. He added that they are now being squeezed so hard that they will no longer get grazing land for animals. However, the best loam soils in northern Uganda is used throughout the year for subsistence farming and also for sale and settlement in addition to grazing cattle and other animals. There are also some migrants these days that are looking for agriculture and resettlement land, which has caused land wrangles and many cases amongst the citizens of the country. The National Environment Authority, NEMA, prohibits encroachment into wetlands in the country, which always interferes with other fertile soils. The Environment Authority always focuses on wetlands and reluctant in conserving dayland soils well. Uganda can be conveniently divided into 7 broad agroecological zones, which have similar economic and social backgrounds and in which ecological conditions, soil types, topography, and rainfall farming systems and practices are fairly homogeneous. These are often further split into sub-zones, usually identified by such factors as similar crop combinations, size of holdings, average plot sizes, and yields. Based on these divisions, defined mapping units are often worked out together with outlines of potential use as a basis for zoning and stratification for production. Agriculture is the backbone of Uganda's economy. 95% of population farms both crops and livestock, on small farms for food and cash income, and on fairly large farms, including ranches of an average size of 1,200 hectares and crop farms 5 to 20 hectares per garden. Agriculture contributes to over 40% to the gross domestic product GDP and over 90% to the country's foreign exchange earnings. It also contributes over 60% of the total government revenue, in addition to employing more than 80% of the total labor force and providing over half of the total income for the bottom 3/4 of the population, that is, reference to the Ministry of Finance, Planning and Economic Development 1996 report. In summary of this story, according to the Parsons 1970, the soils and topography of Uganda have best been classified as soils of high productivity, 8% of the land area, soils of medium productivity, 14% of the land area, soils of fair productivity, 43% of land area, soils of low productivity, 30% of the land area, soils of negligible productivity, 5% of the land area. The main soil types are 18, divided into 7 groups based on their occurrences and agricultural productivity. The Uganda surface cover most areas south of Lake Kyoga. This group embraces 5 types of deep sandy clay and loam with a medium to high productivity. The Tanganyika surface cover Most areas north of Lake Kyoga, West Nile, and some parts of the southwestern tip of Uganda, embracing five types of sandy clay loam with low to medium productivity. The Karamoja surfaces cover the northeastern part of the country and embrace two soil types of sandy clay, loam, and black clays with very low productivity. Rift Valley soils in the western and northern part of the country, bordering on the western Rift Valley, embraces two types of mainly sandy clay, loam with alluvial parent rock of medium to high productivity. Volcanic soils are dominant in Mount Elgon, northern Karamoja, and the extreme southwest tip. Western tip of Uganda, Kabale and Kisoro, with medium to high productivity, except in northern Karamoja, where their productivity is low. Alluvial soils are found outside the Rift Valley, mainly in central northern Uganda, Lango and Acholi, as well as west of Lake Victoria. The productivity of these sandy soils is very low. The last group of soil types in northern Uganda, and their productivity is low. Based on topography, Uganda has been divided into four relief regions of the land area. This segment is part of an audio series related to the International Year of Soils. It has been produced with the support of the World Association of Community Broadcasters in collaboration with the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations, celebrating its 70th anniversary in 2015.